Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Transcendence World Movement radio show. Today's topic is called Ideas for a New Age, and I'm hoping to demonstrate how once we get out of the confines of duality and realize that all the positions have not already been defined and that we can look at things in a new way and clear out all the old obstacles, rise above mental limitations, and in a state of awareness and strength, we will reveal the truth. Come visit the website tonight. Put up a couple of pictures on it that will be pertinent to our discussion later on. The website is transcendenceworldmovement.com. Or you can get there through the link that I have on the creativecosmos.org site. Because as you know, I'm Christopher Moores. And I host both shows, a couple different topics, a couple different aesthetics that relate, but cover completely different realms. But I am the same person, ever-changing, and above and beyond it all, I'm here to speak with you, if you'd like to call in. Whenever you hear me on the air and you want to call in, and talk with me about something, go for it. No need to hesitate. Here's the number if you'd like to do that. 877-876-5227. And that's now the worldwide big number, so that's the number I'm giving out. I'm not going to confuse you with other numbers. As far as I'm concerned, this is the number. 877-876-5227. Plug it in your speed dial in case you have a spiritual emergency. That'd make for good radio. And that's what we're doing today, making good radio. And some more about the transcendence. You know, it's becoming pretty obvious, and people are really seeing the duality played out in our society. In the most obvious way is Republican, Democrat, how they whip up a smoke screen and don't really get much done. Of course, we all know what the big activity is right now that's making other activities that could really benefit our country pretty hard to do. Because the funds aren't available. But when we're considering what would be a solution for something in the world, meaning you could even go farther, is that there's no problems. Only solutions, like Lennon says. But allow me the use of a phrase here and there. Anyway, we need to build. See, we know that the old is no longer working, no longer feels right. And sometimes we wonder why there isn't an alternative. Well, we got to build the alternative. We have to create the alternative. It's up to us. If you feel it should be there, it's up to you. And the transcendence, is a way of looking at things, taking into consideration meditation. The fact that we have a chakra system. I accept that. I understand that. That makes complete sense to me. Have you heard a politician lately say something like that? But see, we have to include this in our discussion. We have to realize that this is, in fact, the case. We have to deal with reality. We can't hide in these old play-acting ways of dealing with things. I, for one, plan to deal with things in the moment. Keep it rolling. And so this idea I'm going to bring out is one of my favorite because I feel it really is indicative of the transcendence. You know, we've all heard about Tibet and the Chinese invasion of Tibet, and I don't know, maybe some of you have seen Kundun or are aware of Dalai Lama, how he walked over the mountains into India. And we've also seen the Free Tibet bumper stickers. So it goes back and forth. Well, you know, not many have the Chinese position, but the Chinese. But then you say, Free Tibet, Free Tibet, Free Tibet. Well, they're not free. And when you read about it, most of their temples have in fact been destroyed. There's very little left of what was once there. And from what I'm aware of, there are pockets of the Tibetan community here and there. And actually, there are many that are in Minneapolis, where I live. And it's always nice to see them around and to just know they're there. And so my mind, internalizing all, and my mind then formed this idea of, well, why couldn't America support or cultivate a new Tibet in the mountains of Alaska? And if you'll visit the website transcendenceworldmovement.com, you'll see I even have a map up there of a possible location. New Tibet in Alaska. Now, as far as I know, the monks from Tibet, one of the major things they practice is non-attachment. And although there's much history and tradition in the old location, if they were to have a new, free, and open location to begin again the tradition, it would be a victory of virtue, of just character, and something that would take true leadership of considering the circumstance and coming up with a really unique and wonderful solution. And there would be no war involved. It would only be positive creation. The mountains up in northern Alaska seem to at least be reminiscent of Tibet, from what I can tell. I have to say, I haven't been to either place, but I've seen, you know, from what I'm aware of, they're close enough to consider, or why not consider such an idea, something new. And another thing I see happening, just because of what actually is, what actually exists, I see the states and nations receding and the cities taking more prevalence, the city and the city government. So it's almost like you have a city-state return full circle, through the beginning of Western culture in the Greek city-states almost. And your major cities would be focal points for the area all around them. So imagine when you see a graph of the World Wide Web over the globe. You know, we've all seen that by now, how all the wires connect across the globe. Well, just look at that. That's what actually is. Cities and centers of information. The only place all the other borders exist are in people's minds, and they only exist as long as they mutually reinforce the concept in each other. But in nature, all things like that will pass away, and all things like that that we have to hold on to superimpose upon reality use up energy. And without that block, then the independent city-states of Earth would be monitoring each other and monitoring the resources. They would shift resources where they needed to be. And that would be a new kind of checks and balance and just the monitoring of the grid. All other cities would watch, all cities would watch all other cities and monitor the flow of, you know, goods, raw materials. In cities like, right, even right now, like New York, for instance, is a prime example of what an international city would be. You know, New York or Tokyo or London, a city that itself is a world. And this is the way that the flavor of the local culture will still be there in the city. You know, Paris would always be Paris and still have the French aesthetic. And then some of the spots in the world that are like hot spots that people are fighting over, like Taiwan, Kashmir, or even Jerusalem, if they were just made into independent international cities, then there would be nothing to fight over. And they would, then the spot of concern, they would immediately turn into leaders. Harbingers of the new way of distributing things equitably. And in abundance. Because once everything is in good order and flowing smoothly, it isn't that everyone would just get a small amount. Things would be overflowing. Another thing that I see on the horizon that is inescapable that we will have to instigate and then further attend to is universal recycling. There's no way we can waste products that can be turned to some other use on an ongoing basis. Right now, in the country of America anyway, as far as I know, there are certain areas that tend, certain cities that tend to recycle more than others. And often in that city, certain areas of that city that, where you can find it to be more prevalent. But this is something that should be part of our whole consciousness and our whole way of looking after the earth, you know, because when we throw something in a bag of we throw a bag of garbage out on the curb and it disappears, well, it goes somewhere, And if you look at the Earth as a sphere in the sky, well, you've just moved that bag from one part of the sphere to another part of the sphere, but it hasn't gone anywhere. And, you know, some of it will decay. Some of it will become toxic and continue to poison the soil for years to come. And some of it will just sit there. So not only do I feel that we have to recycle and make that very universal and make it second nature in apartment complexes, in people at home, we've just got to, and it's not an order, it's not an obligation, it's a stewardship, it's not coming to just feel life and take a responsibility for living in a respectful way. So if you check on the site, transcendenceworldmovement.com, there's a picture on there I took at a rest area that was a perfect demonstration how they have several waste baskets all lined up, labeled clearly, where it makes it very easy for people to just put the right thing in the right place. So that's part of it too, is that we have to make recycling in the city, in the fabric of the city, through the government even, out there, just out there and part of a good clean city. Lots of garbage cans and lots of recycling. Then people will, if it's just as easy to put it in a aluminum bin as it is to throw it on the ground, maybe if you got a chance. But then the other thing about it is that we're going to have to one day go through those dumps. Hopefully we'll come up with some kind of device, some kind of truck, some kind of machine to assist us. But we're going to have to go through all those piles and recycle what we can recycle. You know, I've considered it, and I don't see any way around it. And what we can't get rid of, we could possibly shoot it into the sun with some kind of a one-way rocket trip, or we could compress it as much as possible and put it inside of a titanium sphere and then either bury the sphere or drop it to the bottom of the ocean. These are examples of just some thoughts of how to go about things, you know, that we can't think that we can't allow what is considered policy or what is considered governing to be defined for us. You know, there are many things that attempt to shape our view of what it is and what it's supposed to be, but it's a work in progress, and it's alive in every one of us who take a role in it. And if we want to create a new idea or recognize something that's already happening, that people are realizing that the dichotomy of Republican, Democrat, this, that, and all the other things is just a way to get stuck. And then they look around, and then they start seeing, hey, there's other people that recognize the same thing. And we have interests, different interests than it seems these other people who care about all this madness do. And we're kicking back here, and we're talking to each other, and we're sharing our spiritual realizations, and we're sharing our understanding of history and psychology and sociology and talking about modern affairs. And it's a whole other culture that's developed. Culture of art and music, of consideration and thoughtfulness, and one of awareness, and one that is willing to get edgy sometimes, because sometimes that's what the moment calls for. a wake-up call. Consider this. Have you heard any great clamor for desalinization plants? Do you know what that is? They have technology of where they can turn ocean water or seawater into drinkable water. Now think about that and think about people dying from drought and thirst and how they say one day there's going to be a water shortage on a planet of water. We can figure out how to purify the water so there's plenty to go around and it should be given away. You know, we can, through the recycling, we can make a bunch of plastic jugs, run some water through the desalinization plant, fill these jugs up, and ship them all around. Why do we got to wait for some kind of obvious crisis that rears its head and stares at us in the face, and because we feel so guilty for not attending to it, we send a bit here and there, hey, which is good. Maybe it's not just guilt, you know, many people feel genuine love and assistance, and I'm not saying that that isn't the case. I'm demonstrating the fact that we don't usually think about it in our day-to-day lives, and I'm saying that we should and we need to think about it in our day-to-day lives. And there's people right now that could use a bottle of water, and we get the means to do it. You know, if we can put two and two together, we should do it, and money shouldn't be the huge obstacle. If we can visualize it, we should be able to create it. And people are innovative enough out there that they can make something like this their art, their joy. What if you came up with a really splendid modern version that incorporated all the old desalinization techniques and you expanded it even further, and now you can build things for a cheap price and get a huge return of water? That'd be a service to humanity right there. Something as simple as that. Bottles of water. Here you go. And, you know, you should consider certain things regarding Africa as well. Keep it in mind. First, of course, food. Should share food, and this should come without a price. They shouldn't have to ascribe to an ideology in order to get a meal or some shirts or clothes. So somehow there has to be a new way to distribute that. I kind of joked around with this idea, explaining it to some friends, but I said, I want to bomb Africa. And they're like, oh! I said, with condoms. What? Well, hey, what if you drop box after box after box of condoms with instructions? You know, I'm not ashamed to talk about it and air it out in the open that, hey, you know what, that could do a lot of good. That could keep a lot of diseases from spreading. You know, maybe they won't want to have a kid right away. Maybe they'll be able to make an informed decision for themselves. This in no way should be denied them. And also, vaccines. You know, good, basic vaccines, not the spooky ones that we wonder about now. What with all the conspiracy, I wouldn't get shot with very many vaccines myself right now, but you know, like the basic ones, smallpox, such things as that, they should be universal. Everyone should get that. We should mass produce that, no problem. Another thing that I'd like to see and incorporate in the Transcendence World Movement is to work on forgiving student loan debt. that a whole generation's been saddled with debt. Thousands of kids out there, not kids, but, you know, 30 people are between 30, 35. I mean, some would say, oh, you this and that took it out, and you need to be held accountable or whatever, but hey, what if suddenly your government wasn't a personal threat, but was actually more a support? What if that debt, which doesn't even really exist anywhere, but on a ledger, somehow was part of a revamping of the economic system, and many debts could be erased? I know there's one version of the Lord's Prayer that says, forgive us of our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Or is that just something you hear on Sunday? When you're in the church, I mean, many of the phrases in the church mean something and are representative of something. And also, I feel like when I go to my mailbox and I get all these credit card offers and whatnot, I think about the paper. I think about where the paper comes from. And I just think to myself, man, you know, after day after day after day after day after day of getting this junk mail sent to you, just like the spam you get in your email box, they're just hoping that one day you'll really need the money and you'll take it and you'll get some more debt and be beholden to them. You know, maybe sometimes you need a little credit card action. Nothing wrong with that. But day after day after day of paper piling up of all sorts, you just think about where it comes from. You know, I do anyway, all the trees involved. And I think to myself, hey, you know, I don't see any reason in the world that paper shouldn't be made with hemp. I know some people out there agree with that idea and are aware of the simple and clear explanations why. Hemp would make a good paper product and be useful for other things such as rope. And, boy, there's a whole list. Check it out. So these are the kind of ideas that I'm thinking about and bringing to the fore. And I want to hear if you have any thoughts about it or you have any ideas, new, dramatic. Think big scale. Go for it, you know. We don't have to quite wonder about the details yet. Let's think big. Think of what we can do. What can we do to make America better? What can we do to become part of one world and make the whole world better? Let's share in this unfolding and spur each other to greater heights and to greater realizations and to actually create these wonderful ideas in the world and make the difference ourselves. Okay, good time for a little break here. I'm going to play a tune that I wrote watching CNN one day, and they started talking about something called the Living Room War, how they're trying to, you know, basically that the people writing the script are warring on the viewers of the television set, trying to win over their hearts and minds to the cause. And I thought to myself, hey, I don't want to be a part of the Living Room War. So I wrote this tune. It's called The Living Room War.
The Living Room War, The Living Room War. I just am over The Living Room War. Change the channel, change the
You're back with Christopher Moores, host and visionary of the Transcendence World Movement. Today's show, Ideas for a New Age. Trying to stir the waters here a little bit, get us out of the limited duality position where we have to be always for or against one small thing, but to see the bigger picture, come back out of it, remind ourselves of civilization and the progression throughout history. You see, part of what gives you this vision and helps you be able to see the future is if you really understand the history. And I know many of you heard that before, but history itself is a very mystical topic. You can go in and discover all kinds of things, trends, you know, you can pick up on things that have been going on for thousands of years, and you can become a part of it, and you can be the one who carries it on in the world, you know, and it doesn't even have to be one thing. You could pick up on many different things and be the one who carries it on in the world, and that's what your personal work could be about, and that's what my personal work is about. That's what this show's about, and that's what the Creative Cosmos show's about on Friday. And if you want to call me, Christopher Moores, give you the one big number we got now for the whole wide world, because this is a worldwide radio show. And there are no boundaries. There are no limits. Every single person who's got a computer and an internet connection right now can log on and listen. BBS Radio. It's such a fun thing to listen to, all the hosts and crazy shows, fun people, awesome information. Share it with your friends. Share it with the world. And we now have the icon, the player, available to pick right up and put on your website. Just a little cut and paste, and now you have a radio station playing right on your website. And you're a part of it. BBS Radio, and this is Transcendence World Movement. Give me a call. Here we go. This is the number you've all been waiting for, 877-876-5227. I'll give it to you again in a little different voice. 877-876-5227. Here's another voice, 877-876-5227. That was almost like three voices in one right there. All right, and the next thing I wanted to bring up today, something I was thinking about all day, something I think about often, it's those bullet trains that you see out there in Japan and now China, and they're called the maglev for magnetic levitation, and they're run by magnets opposing each other and zinging her down the tracks. For a more detailed explanation, you should look it up. Bullet trains. The fact is, we got the technology. Technology's out there. What is everybody talking about right now in the news? Gas prices, right? And it sounds like they're bracing us for something we never thought would happen. That gas is going to get so high it's going to put many of our travels out of commission. Or perhaps we can solve it with a new and better alternative, like the bullet train. I believe America should be building bullet trains. You know, the Amtrak? Now, that's some old-fashioned stuff right there. You know, those buses? Man, we need a modern way to get across this country from city to city. And we have the airports and the flights. And, you know, those definitely have their place. But wouldn't it be great if you could just hop on a bullet train? The one in Shanghai, China goes 270 miles an hour. Cuts way down on the oil consumption. I've often thought to myself, well, man, I wish I could just hop on a train from Minneapolis to Chicago. 600 miles. Could do it in 2 hours, because you can make them 300 miles an hour, or even more. Just think, if they really focused on that technology and really integrated it into our infrastructure, you could even have parts of it that hauled goods, cable car, old school cable car concept. And we just have to get used to the new method, you know, and we kind of get forced to seek alternatives. We'll get tired of riding the bus. Chicago could link up to the East Coast, take another trip down to St. Louis, and once more, it's the gateway to the West. Just look on the internet of the bullet train picture by Mount Fuji in Japan. And just imagine if America integrated that. That'd be awesome. That'd be great. Exciting. It's possible. We simply have to make it so. You know, of course, considering the oil consumption, it just makes sense to integrate alternatives such as the wind farms. You know, we could run those all up and down the coast, on the East Coast, maybe on the West Coast, dotted throughout the farmland. And we have solar technology. Once again, it's just a cost issue, but when you're considering existence itself and the Earth itself, planet Earth itself, and here we are on Earth, and what makes sense? Well, we take some of the sunlight and turn it into energy. Well, do we have a way of doing that? Yes, we do. We should have that everywhere it could be. And that's another part of, you know, maybe you could call it civic duty or the sense of honor or responsibility, personal responsibility for life and our environment that I talked about earlier. In other words, we have to be aware and concerned and feel like we're somehow a part of what's going on. And we are. I'm all for building super powerful supercomputers to aid in problem solving from time to time, and to standardize optimum efficiency. You know, just consider a typical appliance in the house. You know, there's the version of it from the 40s, there's the version from it from the 70s or 80s, and then there's the new version. And many of the new versions, they're efficient models. They cut down on energy consumption, they do a great job. You know, the most modern version often works the most effectively and takes the least amount of power. And eventually will be the cheapest to create. This is the ideal. And we should find out what that ideal is across the board for all the ways things are done, for making buildings or boats or, you know, setting up different structures, you know, all kinds of applications. And we have people develop software that will run simulations or take all the known data and extrapolate possibilities. And simply to be informed of those, to be aware, so that when you do face the moment, which will be new, you'll have a lot of tools at your disposal. You'll have a lot of information, a lot of experience, and a lot of ways to deal with it. You won't be surprised or caught off guard. to always be the human that makes the decision. And I also see as a new kind of literacy in the modern age that we have to make, just as society and as a world, we should make free internet portals available all across the land. You know, kind of imagine the old school payphones. Now imagine it was an internet portal. Well, one thing people say is, what about vandalism? Well, make it as vandal-proof as you possibly can, you know, and make it integrate with the environment. Build it so it's strong, durable, and basic. Just has access to the internet. And people will have all information available all of the time. It completely changes the way we go about our life. And as I say often, the old rules do not apply. And right now, you and I are creating a new way of dealing with reality and living life, integrating it one at a time. And in the cities, we can see movements to this effect of the artistic culture being rejuvenated. You know, you talk to modern artists and modern musicians, and they are doing the work. They are doing the creative work. Sometimes there are not as many outlets in the society the way it's come to rely on short attention entertainment and some of the more instinctual messages. But there are many artists and musicians who are using the internet and coming alive through this method of sharing their creations. And this is a huge part of the transcendence, you see, because again, the transcendence is an observation as well. It is seeing something that is happening and recognizing it. And you got to call it something, so we call it the transcendence. It's a new renaissance. It's an overflowing of spirit that creates wonderful new solutions and wonderful new representations of universal harmony. Not for profit or for self-ambition, simply because they're expressing the joy and truth of their heart. This is another part of what transcendence is all about, sharing the truth of your heart, not allowing it to be beaten back inside yourself because there doesn't seem to be an outer circumstance that fits. Well, we'll make the outer circumstance. We are making the outer circumstance. And this is also what many of the websites are for, to share and to create a place for this new expression. And it is worldwide, and we truly are a worldwide web. You see, how can we hold on to the ideas of limitation and separation? They don't even make sense. They're non-existential. Shadows of the past. And I see in the flourishing of the new city, monuments, great new monuments being built to represent just the human spirit. You know, look at when we look back on the wonders of the ancient world, we're amazed. Well, we have some wonders. Now, I even saw a website out there that looked pretty cool, called the New Wonders of the New Wonders of the World, or the New Seven Wonders of the World, something like that. It's a neat site. But I say, let's create more wonders. You know, people are inspired by an embodiment of spirit, and something on a grand scale speaks in ways that no other thing can. Captures the imagination, and every day is influenced by having that monument out there. It just changes the attitude of the people. Gives life a little more meaning. And helps uphold people to the good side of their nature. And I also see much more support going into the art museums and many more endowments or places where artists can get money to create their visions. I mean, the amount of money that's spent on art in this country right now, art of our heritage and our history, is truly saddening. It would only take a slight influx to make such a huge difference. Because artists are not seeking to gain, they're seeking to realize their vision. And some of these things, like the art museum, and also the symphony, like if your city has a symphony orchestra, that's something that makes your city special. That's something that roots your city into the whole of Western history. And not even even further, that many of the modern pieces incorporate the East as well. So it's a center where you can get influx from the world. And this changes you too. Cultural centers where you see things from all around the world actually there. A Russian orchestra passing through town. I've seen that. It's an amazing sight. It's a different vibe entirely. And it's a wonder to behold. And you can meet with these people sometimes. And also the universities. It should be much easier for the average person to go to a university. You shouldn't be beholding for life because of the increased complication of what it takes these days to get a degree. I don't think it needs to take 5 years, 6 years like it does sometimes. I mean, a lot of times the way it's set up now, it's inescapable, but we could scale some of that back. People need to be able to go back to maybe school for a year and change the direction in their life if they want to, because throughout life people have new interests and we're way too boxed in as a society to one task or one job. Even if we like it, we could get trapped, and maybe we like it for 10 years, but then all of a sudden we move somewhere else. This is the way of spirit. And if we're aware of that, we will build systems in our society in a way that accommodates that reality, that universal truth, that fact. We can't hide it from these facts anymore. We shouldn't, because they're great. They will make everything better. We just have to incorporate them and understand the implications. And one more thing I'll talk about before we wrap up the show tonight is just how we are going to need an ambassador to extraterrestrials or extra dimension. Something along those lines, an ambassador to other life forms that exist in places other than what we're used to. We have to incorporate all these things of what we talk about into our way in the outer society as well. And this just makes sense. It's inevitable. And we'll do it. And the way I look at it is, if there is an expiration date, we haven't gotten it right yet. And I truly believe that within what we have available right now is success for all of humanity. I believe in the people. I believe in the universe. And I believe that together we will create this new reality, this new age. We'll close the show tonight with a song called The Planet's Next Phase. Good night, everybody.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.